are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Happy Wednesday, everybody, and happy Thanksgiving Eve. It's hard to believe we're here already, but here we are. The Timberwolves have their final pre-Thanksgiving game this evening as they reach the unofficial benchmark in the season that is Thanksgiving. I guess it is officially Thanksgiving, but it's kind of that checkpoint when everybody has their good, bad, and ugly and what to be thankful for posts and podcasts and everything like that. We're not going to be quite that cliche, but we are there. And also on Sunday, I guess the Timberwolves' next game following Wednesday night in San Antonio is on December 1st on Sunday at home against Memphis. So this is the final game of that October-November start to the season for the Wolves. And then they'll be on to game, I guess, 20 next week. So here we are. So today we're going to preview Wolves Spurs, and then we're going to close with a quick tease for Friday's podcast. We will not have a podcast on Thanksgiving Day, of course, so our next will be on Friday as you're out doing your Black Friday shopping or staying home to avoid Black Friday shopping or simply getting your shopping done online. You can load up the Friday episode of this podcast as we'll prepare for Sunday's game against Memphis. But also, Friday will be in some ways an ode to how good Karl Anthony Towns has been this season is primarily what we're going to dedicate the podcast to on Friday. So we will tease that a little bit and some of the things that I'm going to want to cover. And here's hoping that Wednesday night against the Spurs, Towns adds more fuel to that fire about why he's been just so incredibly dominant this year and how easy of a picture that should be to paint for folks and why it's been so difficult for folks to take notice of how good he's been. I'm not really sure, but we'll get into that here in a moment. So that's the final segment of today's episode, which will be teasing Friday. So let's go ahead and get into Wolves Spurs. The Wolves beat the Spurs by 15 points exactly 2 weeks ago today. Towns and Wiggins led the way per usual in that game and were pretty dominant. It was an all around team effort that got the Wolves that win. There was no one like crazy standout performance. It did take Wiggins to took 23 shots to get his 30 points. Towns had 28, 11, and 4 assists, but really held LaMarcus Aldridge in check, which was his bigger contribution. The Wolves also had 18 points from Jeff Teague. That was his first game back from illness. Teague had come off the bench in that game, which if the last time out against Atlanta on Monday is any indication, Teague's likely to come off the bench again in this one. That was also Jake Lehman's, I think it was his second or third to last game before he came down with an injury. He had 16 points off the bench in that game. So TBD on exactly what the rotation is going to look like as it's ever evolving, which I think is fair in the first 20 games of the season. But the Wolves will look to duplicate that performance. I mentioned they held LaMarcus Aldridge in check. He did have 23 points, but he only had 4 rebounds. And Towns was extremely physical with him on the boards, and that worked out to the Wolves' advantage. The Wolves also gave up 27 points, relatively efficient 27 points to DeMar DeRozan, but nobody else really did any damage on the Spurs, and that's kind of been the theme of the Spurs season so far, or at least of the past couple of weeks. Since Wolves Spurs 2 weeks ago, the Spurs are 1-6 with only a win over the awful New York Knicks to their credit, and they're now 1-9 over their last 10 games, which includes that loss to the Wolves a couple of weeks ago. And the story of the season so far for the Spurs is the complete lack of production they've gotten from anybody else that's not named DeRozan or Aldridge on the offensive end of the floor, and then their overall poor team defense. Predictably, the Spurs have been similar to some recent years Spurs teams in that they just don't shoot threes. They're last in the league in 3-point attempts and makes per game. When they do shoot them, they're middle of the pack in percentage, which is fine. And they shoot primarily mid-range jumpers and shots at the rim, but they don't have the requisite number of athletes to get good shots at the rim and then convert those into makes. And they also just are a bad defensive team. They are 27th in defensive rating, according to Basketball Reference. And they just haven't been able to slow opponents down at all. Aldridge is obviously not, you know, the prototypical post defender in today's day and age in terms of his ability to guard pick and rolls and to switch and things of that nature. And there just isn't much else to write home about on the defensive end of the floor. It's pretty unusual for a Popovich coach team, but that's kind of where we're at this point. The wing rotation, at least the bench, has been a little bit in flux with Damari Carroll and Marco Bellinelli practically alternating their DNP CDs. One will be in the rotation where and one won't be. And then Patty Mills is a bad defender, has been just okay on offense. Derek White is not a good defender and hasn't provided hardly anything on offense of late, and his playing time hasn't been consistent either. And Rudy Gay just hasn't been very good on either end of the floor. And it's just reaching the point where there's several aging players that are closer to role players on the Spurs, and then the young players that aren't efficient enough on offense or effective enough on defense to make a positive impact. And so that's unfortunately where the Spurs are sitting right now, at least unfortunately for them. In terms of the Western Conference standings, this swoon by the Spurs has them now at 6-12, which is tied for the third worst record in the West, with Portland ahead of only Memphis and the hopeless Golden State Warriors. Timberwolves are 7th in the West. They're 9-8, a couple games behind the Jazz and just barely ahead of the Suns in the standings. Although point differential wise, the two teams aren't all that different. The Timberwolves have a minus 1.1 point differential, which predicts just a little bit of regression, although admittedly we're still quite early in the season. The Spurs have a minus 3 differential, which isn't all that bad for a team of their record to this point. All right, before we get into a little bit deeper into the matchup and what specifically to look for, did want to mention our friends at MyBookie as we head into some fantastic Thanksgiving Day football. Attention, past, present, and my future MyBookie players. For this week only, MyBookie is offering a risk-free bet on the Bears-Lions game on Thanksgiving. Simply choose a team against the spread for up to $250. If you win, congrats. You've got extra holiday spending money. And if you lose, congratulations to you as well. MyBookie will give you all your money back. It's a no-brainer. You literally can't lose. It's no risk and all gravy. It doesn't matter whether you're an experienced player or a first-time customer. MyBookie welcomes all to come play, so quit waiting around and sign up today. Do you find yourself wanting to sports bet but still have lots of questions? Don't sweat it. MyBookie's patient customer service team can walk you through the process, and the best part is, if you join now, you'll still have one last shot to take advantage of their incredible sign-up offer. Just log on to MyBookie.ag and make your first deposit with promo code LOCKEDONNBA, and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar to jumpstart your bankroll, and that's on top of the risk-free bet. Let's repeat that. That's a guaranteed deposit match and a risk-free bet for this week only. So if you're a true football fan, you don't want to let this opportunity pass you by. You simply can't lose. Make sure you do your part to support your team this season. Hop on the gravy train and get in on the action with MyBookie. You play, you win, you get paid. In terms of specific keys to the game between the Wolves and the Spurs, I already alluded to the Spurs' lack of three-point shooting, I guess, interest and ability. They're last in the league in both attempts and makes per game. The last time these two teams met, the Spurs were 3 of 17 from beyond the arc, and Brian Forbes was 2 for 7, so he attempted almost half of those threes and made 2 of the 3 attempts. Bellinelli hasn't been in the rotation the last couple of games, and he's really the only guy who for his career is a good three-point shooter. I guess Patty Mills could fall into that category as well. But this team is primarily focused on running the ball through the mid-range, as both DeRozan and Aldridge are good mid-range shooters and both shot the ball well against the Wolves last time. At the end of the day, the Spurs defense is bad enough and the Wolves shot the ball well enough from the perimeter to win the last time these two teams met. Also, rebounding is another key. The Spurs don't have very many guys outside of Trey Lyles and to even a lesser extent, LaMarcus Aldridge that rebound the ball very well. Jakob Poeltl doesn't play that many minutes off the bench. He's been good when he does play, but it's also a matchup that Towns should be able to exploit. And Gorgui Dieng will likely get the minutes against Poeltl. He's been playing better than Noah Vonleh of late and is a better matchup for him. And so I would expect Gorgui to play well against Jakob Poeltl also and be able to hold his own if not best him on the glass. So I think rebounding and then just shooting the ball well enough from the perimeter, as long as they avoid another 11% shooting night or whatever that was a couple of weeks ago when the Wolves lost and shot just horrendously. They made like 6 threes on 40 some attempts. As long as they manage, the last two times these two teams met, the Wolves were 11 of 34. That's 32.4%. If they do that again and can dominate the glass, they should win this game with relative ease. The Spurs just simply aren't the Spurs that we're used to seeing. Wiggins last time was very, very good against the Spurs. He had 30 points. He was 4 of 7 from beyond the arc. He had 8 rebounds and 7 assists. the last time out for the Wolves against the Hawks on Monday, Towns had 8 assists himself. So both of the Wolves' best 2 players are really starting to understand just how important it is for them to be distributing the ball, looking for their teammates in the flow of the offense. And it's why I'll go back to what I've been harping on the past few episodes. This Wolves team, if you find a couple of additional shooters, is certainly a playoff team. If Wiggins and Towns are both playing at the levels that they've played through the first however many games we've played so far, 17, 18 games, then this is a playoff team. If they can find a shooter or two, and maybe that's some, you know, maybe that's Teague being a more willing shooter. Maybe it's Lehman coming back healthy and shooting the ball better. It doesn't really appear like Josh Okogie or Jarrett Culver or Travion Graham are all of a sudden going to be league average 3-point shooters, but the three of those guys have really drugged down the Wolves' offensive ceiling because of their lack of perimeter shooting. Now, at the same time, the Wolves' defense with both Robert Covington and Josh Okogie on the floor especially has been outstanding. The problem comes when the Wolves play stretches with Okogie and Graham on the floor together, as neither one of them has a positive offensive impact, and their defense isn't good enough to outweigh their struggles on offense. Covington provides enough on offense and is a good enough defender that he's a plus player on both ends of the floor. Okogie's much more neutral, and Graham has just struggled so much on offense that he just hasn't been a positive contributor to this team. So look for those rotations to continue to kind of course correct, as Ryan Saunders, I think, is looking to get a big enough sample size to make some of those more definitive decisions. The rotation has kind of been in flux. Outside of DeMar DeRozan, the Spurs don't have a perimeter threat that the Wolves need to dedicate somebody like a Travion Graham to guarding. Remember, Graham sat out the loss to the Suns on Saturday. He had an arm contusion, and then he did play on Monday in Atlanta and was almost exclusively guarding Trae Young. So I wouldn't be shocked if the Wolves saw this as another opportunity to get Graham a game of rest and just say, hey, we'll put Okogie on DeRozan and switch Covington onto him at times, and give Keelan Martin a run at him off the bench, and then that's it. And just give Graham the night off, because he's only been effective as a one-on-one defender against dynamic perimeter players on the other team. And I don't even think he's been as good as Okogie, and his offense is bad enough. It just doesn't make sense to put him on the floor unless you have a really specific need. So that wouldn't surprise me if that's the route that the Wolves went in this one. We'll see. But Okogie has been genuinely good on defense, and again, better than Graham. So I think he's a slight net positive when he's on the court. Okogie is, just because he's so good on defense, and he's okay on offense. He gets into these stretches where he makes open shots and he can score in transition. And those are things that Travion Graham has not shown that he's capable of doing. So all that to say, decent enough 3-point shooting, staying close to DeMar DeRozan and forcing him to take enough shots, you know, to take too many shots to get to his low 20s points that he's going to get to, but just force him into tougher shots, and then dominate the glass. And those are the keys to winning this game. And it really shouldn't be all that close. Although we've said that several times before, you know, whether it be at Memphis or against a shorthanded Suns team or against the Wizards with Karl Anthony Towns on the court after having beat them without him, those were all games the Wolves should have won. And this Spurs team is better than those teams. I still think the Spurs team finishes ahead of the Suns when it's all said and done. Popovich is too good of a coach. So on the road, this certainly isn't a game that the Wolves should be taking for granted. That said, it's also a game that the Wolves should be able to win, as long as they show up and do the things that we've already discussed. The spread in this game is somehow Spurs minus 2.5. I'm going to go ahead and say that the Wolves cover this and either lose a close game or pull out a win, even without, you know, Jake Lehman obviously still not available, Shabazz Napier not available, and the Spurs are relatively healthy. So all that to say, I think the Wolves win this game. I think it's close, but it is a game that the Wolves should be able to come out on top of. All right, lastly, we are going to talk a little bit about Karl Anthony Towns and what we, I guess, tease what I'm going to talk about in Friday's episode on just how transcendently good he's been so far this season. I'm going to do my best to not spill too much of my upcoming monologue on Friday about just how good Karl Anthony Towns has been this season for the Timberwolves, but we need to hit some of the high points of just how good he's been and really, really kind of dive into those numbers. I mean, he's been historically good in a couple of different ways and has clearly been the best center in the league all around. If we're calling Anthony Davis a power forward, and he's been playing a lot of power forward this year, then Towns is the best center in the league thus far. He's been unequivocally better than Joel Embiid. They're head-to-head matchup was fairly even before Embiid, you know, instigated the situation that got both of the players ejected and then suspended two games. And sure, Embiid has generally been better when they've been matched up head-to-head. However, so far this season, Towns has been better in I don't even think virtually, I think literally every single category, whether it be per game, rate-based statistics, etc. On the website that I co-edit, Dunking with Wolves, there was a post by one of our outstanding writers, Jack Borman, that went live on Wednesday morning that talks about Towns in context of Joel Embiid and the rest of the league so far this year. Towns, there's a tweet that was put out by somebody who their Twitter handle is 37 Wolves. They listed that Karl-Anthony Towns has a higher, and then there's a list of like 16 stats, points per game, rebounds per game, offensive and defensive rebounds per game, assists, steals, blocks per game, and then shooting percentages, field goal percentage overall, 2-point, 3-point, free throw, effective field goal percentage, true shooting percentage are all better than Joel Embiid. And then all the advanced metrics that you're going to find on a basketball reference page, win shares on both ends of the floor, overall win shares, box score plus minus on both ends of the floor and overall, and then value over replacement player, the VORP and the PER. No matter what you think of any of those stats, in context, they all mean something, and Towns has been better than Joel Embiid across the board. And then this Twitter user also adds that Joel Embiid has a higher usage rate and has been committing more fouls per game than Karl-Anthony Towns, which is another huge step forward. I've mentioned this several times on this podcast, but Towns averaged the most fouls per game in the league last year. So the fact that he's found a way to reduce those is pretty significant. And another shout out to Jack at Dunking with Wolves. He mentioned in his article about the Timberwolves' new pick and roll coverage on defense and how David Vanterpool, the associate head coach, former assistant with the Trailblazers, and he's kind of the defensive coordinator really for the Wolves now, instead of icing the pick and roll like the Wolves did in the past with Towns, one of the ways that they've kept Towns' fouls down per each game is he's playing more drop coverage, and he's being able to almost play free safety and pick and choose his spots. They're not icing every single pick and roll. And that has allowed Towns to be less aggressive in certain situations, which is okay when you're trying to maintain, you're trying to keep your best player on the floor without getting him into foul trouble. And yet he's still been effective on defense. He's still blocking a couple of shots a game and just all around been really good on that end of the floor as well. And there's plenty of other less tangible things that you could look at just on a nightly basis, how much he's had the ball in his hands, but yet is still distributing the ball and not strictly shooting every time he touches it. Also, the most impressive thing to this point is he's shooting 9 3-pointers per game, and he's shooting 44% from beyond the arc. There's another tweet that Jack embedded in this article on Dunking with Wolves from Blake Holman that mentions that Towns is having the best non-Curry shooting season and granted, we're only 20 games in or 18 games in, but averaging 9 threes per game, that's more than Klay Thompson averaged a couple of years ago when he shot 41%. Dirk Nowitzki's best season shooting, he only shot a little more than 2 3-pointers per game, shot 42%. Towns is at 44% on 9 attempts per game, and it's not crazy out of line with the rest of his career either. So there's really no reason that we should be expecting that number to change dramatically. Surely it may come down a little, but the fact that we're not talking more about how historically great he's been from beyond the arc so far is crazy. I want to correct myself quickly. I said in Dirk's best shooting season, Dirk's best 3-point shooting season in terms of percentage, he was shooting about 2 per game. There was a point in his career he was shooting almost 5 per game. But for his career, Dirk was a 38% 3-point shooter. So obviously still an incredible shooter, but Towns is really taking this to another level. So, I guess those are the cliff notes as we look ahead to Friday, but we're going to go in a little bit deeper and really dive into just how crazy these numbers are that Towns has been putting up and how that impact is finally starting to translate into wins for this team. As they're above 500 and hopefully we'll stay that way with the win against the Spurs on Wednesday as well. One quick final programming note. Again, we do not have a Thanksgiving Day episode, so we will not have an episode tomorrow. We will have an episode on Friday that will give us a quick recap of the Spurs game from Wednesday night, as well as a look ahead to the Memphis matinee at Target Center on Sunday, which is the next Wolves game. So we'll get a nice 3-day layoff over Thanksgiving as they travel back to Minneapolis. And then we will get back into some of those Carl Anthony Towns numbers that we just touched on briefly here a moment ago. And that will be our show on Friday. And then we'll obviously look ahead to next week as well. All right, everybody have a great Thanksgiving. Enjoy time with friends and family and enjoy watching some football tomorrow as well. And we'll be back Friday as we talk Wolves Spurs, look ahead to Wolves Grizzlies, and talk about Carl Anthony Towns. Thanks once again for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.